God uses all of us. And if you don't share your story, if I don't share my story, it will never help another woman to overcome or to relate or to feel victorious or worthy. Sometimes we just don't think we're worthy or we don't have a story, but we all are worthy. We all have a story, and God meets us right where we're at. And he loves us for exactly who we are. And I think as women share their stories of where they've been, what they've walked through, other women can relate because we all have different stories, but some of us have walked a similar path. I think it's just important for all of us to share so that we can connect to those who have walked a similar story and similar paths.
You're listening to Altered Stories with Michelle Renee Gutch.
Hello, Altered Story Show listeners, and welcome to my season 3, episode 127, God Spoke, God's Story, featuring my lovely special guest here, Julie Holder. This is your chief storyteller host, Michelle Saunders Gutch. And thank you all out there for listening to my show and watching, because we're on YouTube now. And we, as you know, love to help Christian women share their God stories so women around the world can hear them and never feel alone. Friends, I hope all is well and you're enjoying your March month and the Lent season. Here in the USA, March begins our season of spring, and this year, we will celebrate Easter on March 31st. Many of you may call Easter Resurrection Day. Some celebrate Easter differently, but we are excited to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, friends, I'm excited and I am honored to bring to the mic my special guest, Julie Holder, as I introduced earlier, and she's a guest referral from the awesome Jennifer Lee, who is the podcast host of I Need Blue podcast. Julie is a Christian sales management manager. She's married and has an amazing stepdaughter. And she is a songwriter. Oh man, friends, you got to listen to her songs. They're anointed. She loves to sing, of course, and dance. So now let's get to know her. Welcome to the Altered Story Show, Julie. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. And actually, Michelle, I am divorced. So I am now back to single and just focusing on myself and my relationship with Jesus and my job and my daughter.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. Is there anything else about who you are, like maybe some hobbies or anything that you might want to bring to the listeners to better learn about you?
Well, you were definitely right when you say that I love to sing. And ever since I was young, I've loved to write. So it started with poetry. And then as I got into my teenage years and my early 20s, it turned into songs. And I tried being a one-hit wonder in secular music, and God would not open that door until many years later. He has now opened that door. Because I'm not trained in either singing or songwriting. It's just a gift that he gave me. And now he's letting me use that gift for his good. So now Jesus and I write songs together and I sing them and I'm making a CD and whatnot in his name.
Okay. Well, cool. We'll be able to add one of those songs to your episode page, and you know, we'll see how that works in how we add that to our audio piece and video. I don't know, do you do videos as well as the audio I'm assuming that you're doing that too.
So far, I do have one music video to go with one of the songs. I have a 5-song demo CD that's out now. So there's one music video that goes with that. I'm getting ready to finish the last 2 songs, and then the CD will be put out as a whole. Then I'll make some more music videos to go along with those songs too.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. That is so cool. Because I think there's something so healing about music, worship, all those things, you know? God really wanted that to be included, to bring us great pleasure, right? And healing and all that. So, so Julie, you know that I love sharing women's God stories and alteration and change. And, you know, that's just something that we're all about. And I would love to hear from your perspective, just from, you know, the years that you've seen how stories affect others. But why do you think it's so important for Christian women to share their God stories?
God uses us all, whether we're broken, whether we are imperfect, no matter where we are in our walk. We could be young, we could be 53, we might be 77 or 91, but God uses all of us. And if you don't share your story, if I don't share my story, it will never help another woman to overcome or to relate or to feel victorious or worthy. Sometimes we just don't think we're worthy or we don't have a story, but we all are worthy. We all have a story. Yes. And God meets us right where we're at. And he loves us for exactly who we are. Mm-hmm. And I think as women share their stories of where they've been, what they've walked through, other women can relate because we all have different stories, but some of us have walked a similar path.
Right.
So I think it's just important for all of us to share so that we can connect to those who have walked a similar story in similar paths.
Yeah. And there is something to be said about the healing component of telling your story.
Agreed.
I just feel like there was so much healing that I found when I was able to tell my story. And I know that, you know, today we're going to be so blessed to have you tell your story.
Well, thank you. And I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, wow. This is going to be cool. So, Julie, where does your God spoke God story begin? Walk us through it. And we're here to listen.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So really, my story starts from birth. So I'll just give you a real brief segmental of my history. From birth, I was always very sick, and it was nothing normal. Everything was just kind of different or off the charts, and the doctors couldn't figure out, you know, how my body functioned and my genetics and whatnot. So at 5, I went to bed hearing, woke up deaf. At 13, had a blood disease that I was in and out of hospitals for a year that they could never figure out. And so my family, my mom especially, leaned heavily into God at that time for my healing. Then as I progressed into my 20s, I ended up having between 27 and 33, I had like 20 some odd surgeries that were all female related. And that's when I really became close with the Lord and leaning into him on a personal level. I always knew him, but I didn't always walk with him. So it was during those times when I became really dependent on God, because I was fearing for my life. You know, you go in for surgery, you don't know if you're going to wake up off that table. So I would cry and carry on, and I'd be so scared. And I was probably 4 or 5 surgeries in, and it was one of the first times I actually heard God speak to me and he said, I've got you. And it was just this really comforting feeling and this comforting voice that no matter what I'm going through in my life, no matter how many surgeries I had, I knew I had to trust God with my life. So that was a big, big moment. And shortly after that, I had gotten really, really sick with a lung illness, like a swine flu type of sickness. And I was in the hospital, couldn't breathe. I had this beautiful roommate. She was an elderly lady who was in there suffering with miserable pain, nothing that she had done to herself. Okay. Me, I'm in there. Here I have lung issues and I'm smoking and I'm partying and I'm this young, wild, disobedient child of God. And the doctors had come in and asked me, have you ever been on a ventilator? Now, mind you, I'm 33 years old. I was like, what? No, I haven't. And they gave me all these horrible scenarios of things that could happen to me if they couldn't get my lungs to start functioning and healing properly within the next 24 hours. And I was horrified, probably the most scared I had been for my life. And it was 11:30 at night. And I just really humbled myself and was on my face before the Lord. And for the first time in my life, was completely honest with the Lord. And I was praying and I'm asking him for healing and I'm apologizing for, you know, all the damage that I had done to his temple. And all of a sudden, I just had this feeling of, you got nerve. You're not even worthy right now of asking him for this healing and for this forgiveness, which we know that we are, but your carnal emotions take over. And I, in that moment, I just felt so awful and so unworthy of the Father's love, and that here I am asking you to heal me after I've been so disrespectful to my own temple, which belongs to God. And I just said, God, in this moment, just leave me. I don't even deserve the healing I am begging you for. Leave me, go to Elizabeth. That was my roommate. And I said, wrap yourself around her, God. Give her the healing that I am asking you for. I don't even deserve you in this moment. And I kid you not, Michelle, in that moment, I felt this burning sensation from the top of my head down every fiber of my being, out my toes. And I heard my roommate sigh, and she was like, oh. As if I could hear the Holy Spirit wrapping himself around her. This woman was not able to sleep more than 2 hour increments prior. She had slept for 12 hours. And to me, I feel that was the true moment at 33 years old, humbled myself before the Lord, that I met the Holy Spirit. God was so good to me in that moment. Not only did he listen and wrapped himself around her and gave her 12 hours of peace and comfort, but the next morning, I started to naturally cough out everything that was in my lungs. I mean, prior, it felt like I was drowning in rubber cement and I just couldn't breathe. And my body started to expel all of this on its own. So I never had to go on a ventilator. I never had to have my lungs vacuumed out. 4 days later, I left that hospital. I never put a cigarette to my lips again. It's been 20 years. I never suffered. I never struggled. And I know that that was God. And I give him all the glory. So that was the first, you know, really the first part of my testimony in how God spoke to me at that time.
Wow. Wow.
It was humbling.
I mean, Julie, I think when you prayed for her and you said, God, take and heal her and don't heal me, that was, I think, an incredible surrender and sacrifice. You know, when you think about that, geez, I mean, I am so grateful that, do you know what, was it because you just had such conviction, you think the Holy Spirit had heaped that on you? Or do you know what made you turn and to be so sacrificial about your healing?
You know, going back to that moment, I just really felt like I had been so thoughtless mm-hmm. of God. We're trying to run my own life and fulfilling my own fleshly desires.
Yeah.
I did feel conviction.
Yeah.
That's
the Holy Spirit working through and in you. And yeah.
It was Him waking me up, I think, in that moment to recognize that there's so much more to our lives than what we want for ourselves. I mean, I was 33 years old and very much selfish, letting God lead, not thinking about what did God want for my life. And I was in I had just left a terrible marriage that mm-hmm. was after divorce number one, unequally yoked, and still carrying on, like I said, with smoking. And you know, I would go to karaoke clubs and I'm singing and I'm drinking and smoking, and I was not respectful and not recognizing that this is God's temple. This is His body.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm not going to say that that was this great epiphany and it was the end of my story, because it wasn't. I still fought with the spirit of unruly flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I walked out of that hospital and never smoked again. And I did have a different relationship with God. In that moment, I was changed, and it started for me to be a new creature in Christ, but God still had a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So did anyone disciple you after that, or did you have a church family, or, you know, when you were surrendering, moving forward, you know, how were you able to stay connected in your faith?
I have to give big, big, big props to my mother mm-hmm. and my grandmother. My mom she's still alive. We are still like best friends, and we are kindred spirits in the Lord. Like, we love to worship together. We go to church together still. I was not going to church at that time. So to answer that question, I did not have a church family at 33. I had a personal relationship, but I did not have a church family. So my mom was very diligent in always talking Jesus with me. My grandmother, same thing. She lived to be 100. She was and still is one of my favorite people. I am blessed that I was born into a family who knew God and made sure that I knew Him.
Yes.
Even when I was straying and being wild, my mother and my grandmother were always the fishers of men, you know, reeling me back in. And they were like, listen, you have to be obedient to Jesus. And I heard their words, but my obedience came in stages as I matured in God.
Yeah.
But yeah,
oh, absolutely.
I have to give them all the credit.
Yeah. I'll tell you, there's so much to be said to have a godly mother and grandmother.
Yes.
I know mine when I meandered were there praying for me too. You know, and I mean, God bless those women.
Yes.
Julie. So tell us kind of from where you were there in that age group to what led you to where you are now. Can you kind of bring us to the next part of your testimony, your story around the God spoke piece?
I can. And that is just such an amazing, such a huge growth part of my life. So, like I said before, I had recently been divorced. I stayed single, you know, for almost 15 years, ended up married a second time. That was where I acquired my stepdaughter, who has been nothing but an amazing blessing to me. And I call her my daughter. But yeah. that marriage too was unequally yoked, because I still wasn't asking God, lead me. What do you want for me? I was still trying to run my own life. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So marriage number two, that did not work out so well either. But always there's a blessing. There's always that silver lining to the dark cloud, which was the daughter that I took from that marriage. And I got a lot closer to God. I went through a lot. And as I was leaving that marriage, we were entering COVID. So all of that was going on in parallel. And I moved out and then became immediately isolated.
Hard. That's so hard.
It was so hard, but so good. So good. Because it forced my dependence on God even more. And I just developed this complete trust, this whole new love affair with Jesus that really catapulted me forward quite a bit in my relationship with the Lord. And I spent a lot of time just kind of healing and recovering from that divorce. And when God puts you in a time of isolation, it's because he wants you to recognize that he is all you need.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I was learning that, I still wasn't walking in complete obedience. I had way too much time on my hands being alone. I worked from home and I could not travel as a sales manager because of COVID.
Yeah.
So
that's
I was
tough.
In the house.
Yep.
And, you know, everybody's so familiar with the social medias available. And I spent way too much time squandering my days on Facebook, in which I had met this man. We had a ton of mutual friends. He was from the area that I was living in, but had moved to Florida. We met online. We talked. I went to his state. He drove up and we met in person. And we had a great time. We had an undying chemistry. And that turned our friendship into dating. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I go back home to Michigan. We are in this, you know, long distance relationship. And there were some issues there. I saw the red flags, but all of a sudden I miraculously became colorblind. And I was like, no, those flags are green. And I ignored every one of them.
Oh my God. Oh, girl.
I look back now and I'm like, I can just see our Heavenly Father up there rolling his eyes with his head in his hands like, oh, my daughter, what are we doing? What is happening here? And God had spoken to me before about not having sex out of marriage. Okay, we're just going to get raw here and get the truth of the matter. All right, this man liked to drink and party. So he was leading me down kind of a slippery slope as well. So I was drinking and partying with him and having sex out of marriage. And a couple years in, God had had enough. he had just about had enough of my shenanigans. And one day I'm walking through my kitchen into my bedroom and I hear Holy Spirit, that soft, audible voice. And, you know, Holy Spirit speaks to all of us differently.
Yes.
But when he wants my attention, he speaks to me in that soft, audible voice. And I heard him say, stop the addictions. And so I did that carnal thing and I'm like, what did I just hear? Who was that? God, was that you talking in my ear? And I went about my business. Like I just ignored it because I wasn't ready to respond. I just wasn't ready to respond. So I let it go. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks later, and mind you, boyfriend was in town staying with me for a 10-week period during this time that God is speaking to me. So 3 weeks later, I'm walking same spot from the kitchen into the bedroom, and I hear Holy Spirit speak again, stop the addictions. So this time, I stopped in my tracks and I said, God, what is with the S? Why are you saying addictions as a plural? I get that you don't want me drinking, and I'm not going to lie. I was smoking. You know, he would smoke marijuana. I would smoke marijuana. It was bad, okay? And it's embarrassing. It's a very vulnerable place to have to tell your truths and bring them the darkness to the light.
Yes.
During that time, my dad had fallen ill. He had passed in a very, very short time. It was less than 7 weeks. And I didn't drink a lot ever, but I felt like I was using marijuana to self-medicate and just stay comfortably numb. And God was like, you're done. You're done. So God not only clarified, like, one, you need to stop the addictions of substance, but your boyfriend is an addiction. You are using him as a false idol. He is coming between you and me. Where I would talk to God first thing in the morning, and I would speak to God last thing in the evening. It had then turned into the boyfriend first thing in the morning. It was the boyfriend last person I spoke to in the evening. And my time with God was becoming less. And so once that clarification was brought to my attention, it was a rude awakening. And basically, I felt like there was a choice to be made, him and sin, or God and obedience. My circle was like this, okay? And God was like, it needs to be like this. You have to close that circle. No more substance abuse, no more sex out of marriage. I need you to do what you were called to do. This is where we lead into what I'm doing now, because I made that choice. I broke up with the boyfriend. I cleaned my body, and I don't use any substances at all. God has been able to let me step into my calling, to walk in a manner for which I have been called. And that comes from Ephesians. Mm-hmm. And so the guy that I was dating, his brother-in-law happens to be a pastor of a church here in Michigan. And one of the final calls of God, the last, he spoke to me twice in that time frame, right? Stop the addictions. Second time, stop the addictions. The third time God spoke was actually at a luncheon. And we were with, you know, my boyfriend's sister and brother-in-law. And his brother-in-law looked across the table at me and said, so when am I doing your wedding? And I said, what? You're not. And he said, why not? And I said, because your brother-in-law has a colossal drinking problem, and I can't marry that. And this brother-in-law, who's a pastor, leaned in across the table and said, well, I know how much you love Jesus, And I know that you're a very godly woman, so don't get caught on the wrong side of the fence. Time is short. Don't get caught on the wrong side of the fence. And Michelle, I'm not kidding when I tell you I could see Jesus coming right out of his mouth. And that's when I knew, like right there in that moment, I knew I had to be done with all of it. So it was when my boyfriend went back home, we broke it off. I cleaned up my act. I had went to visit the brother-in-law and the sister a couple months later. And the brother-in-law's name is Craig. And he said to me, I just want you to know that God had shown me early on when I met you that he had a purpose and a calling for you, but you weren't stepping into it. And I couldn't say anything in that time because you weren't ready. You weren't ready to listen. You weren't ready to step. But now you are. And he said, I just want you to know God has a song for you and a book. And I was like, what? I said, did you know that I was a singer-songwriter that it just never went anywhere? And he said, no, I didn't, but God did. And I said, well, I'm not a book writer. I'm a songwriter. And he said, God said he has a song and a book. So you better get busy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
What a incredible blessing that man was into your life.
I mean, unbelievable how God works. He is so good.
He is.
And just so faithful. And he never gives up on us.
He doesn't. And he pursues us.
He does.
Because he loves us so.
Yes. And I will be forever grateful. There's so many times in church where I'm worshiping and I'm sobbing. And it's
so beautiful.
But gratitude and thankfulness and just how in love with him I am. And just so thankful that he never gave up on me. I'm 53 years old and it's never too late to step into your calling. It's never too late to change, to become a better person in the name of Jesus and do what he has called us to do, whatever that looks like. He gives us all gifts. It's just a matter of us recognizing them, finding our gift, asking him, what do you want me to do for you? How can you use me to better others, to change someone else's life, to maybe save a soul for the kingdom? And for me, it was creating a CD a couple months after, and I had not written a song in 5 years. I was broken. I was absolutely broken.
Yeah.
So a couple months after, that visit, when he spoke to me that God had a song and a book, I just said to God, I was like, listen, if you have a song for me, you're going to have to help me write it because I am broken and I've not been able to write a song in a long time. And there was one Friday after work that Holy Spirit just unctioned me. And he was like, shut it down, shut everything down, go someplace private and quiet and just be with me. Just be with me. And it makes me cry because I can feel the emotion in that day, in that moment, which was a year ago, February. So it was this month.
Wow.
A year ago.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
All right.
So it's Friday night. I shut everything down. I call up, to a local hotel. I live in Michigan on Lake St. Clair.
Mm-hmm.
So up the water was this little shoddy motel, nothing fancy, but it was on the water. They had a nice tub and I rented that room. I brought my laptop and my Bible. I shut everything else down. I went to that room. I spent some time looking at the water, talking to God, just worshiping, just spending time with him. I opened up my Bible after praying, and I started to read. God led me to Ephesians. Okay, so let me just start there. Yeah. I opened up the Bible. God led me to Ephesians. I started reading. And one of the lines that caught me was, my child, walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you have been called. And that started my testimony song called Took My Body Back. And the first line of my song is, my precious gift to my child, walk in a manner worthy of your calling for which you have been called. I said, for which you have been called. Mm-hmm. The temple I've created for you was never meant to fall. And God and I wrote that song that night about keeping your body pure, not to have sex out of marriage, not to just lay down with a man because you think you love him. And in this day and age, there's so much pressure on women, young, too old. Mm-hmm. I mean, the kids are starting with, you know, these sexual things so young these days. And then there's women that are very mature that are dating, and they are laying down with men because we either feel it's expected, or if we don't, they're going to leave us for somebody who will, or if it feels good, it's okay. And that's not how that works. I used to make up all kinds of excuses. My mom would say, you know, you shouldn't be having sex out of marriage. And I was like, Mom, God knows my heart. He knows I'm not a trollop. You know, he knows that I'm in love before I give my body. I give my heart. Then I lay down with the man. And, you know, to backtrack, at 14 years old, I had been date raped.
Yeah.
And that was my first experience with sex. And that could have directed my sexual life in a lot of different directions. Fortunately for me, it made me fearful and scared, so I was never promiscuous. But I always felt like, oh, well, I love this guy, so I can lay down with him. God knows my heart. He knew I loved him first. Mm-hmm. And my mom would say, well, where does it say that in the Bible, though? And I, you know, I was like, Mom, I didn't want to hear it.
No.
Now I know that that's not in the Bible. God does judge us by our hearts, but it's just so much more than that. And he really wants us to be obedient. And sex is something that is very special to be shared only between husband and wife. That's it.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think the way that you're presenting this is what God's perfect design was for man and women.
Yes.
And so much of secularism has been infiltrated into the thinking. And there's no sanctity of marriage sometimes. There's no understanding that God created it for his glory.
Yes, he sure
did. We are to glorify God with our bodies. We are to glorify God with, you know, how we choose to live our life as a believer. You are rebirthed. You are reborn. That is what Jesus did, right? He did that for us.
Yes.
And so he died on the cross. He helped bridge the gap so we can have that incredible reconciliation and restoration to God the Father, because we're just not holy enough. We weren't holy enough people. And when we had the broken fall, there had to be a way. And Jesus was the way. And he brought us to where we could be holy and have a relationship with God the Father. And so it's just really, it's very interesting to hear how God just full circle worked this and now is using you for sharing this with our women. Young yes. girls, old, you know, breaking the strongholds, helping women see what the perfect design was for what God intended for them. Yes. Julie, this is a big, major deal.
It's huge for me. And I'm just so grateful because he wants us to love him first.
Yes.
Then he will bring all things unto us. Seek the kingdom of God first, and he will bring the things unto us, what he sees fit for our lives, what his will is. And I was just so busy trying to run my own life.
Yeah.
And not asking God, what do you want for me? What is your will? Now I do nothing without asking God. And what he has done is not only given me as an untrained singer-songwriter, God has written 8 original songs with me, and I have to give him all the glory. Okay, one of the songs that I wrote in less than 7 minutes and sang it twice. We recorded it. We made a video for it, and that started the whole journey of this CD that I'm making. 2 are cover songs, 8 are originals. He yeah. had me write the book, and I was like, God, I'm not a book writer. I'm a songwriter. And God was like, don't put limitations on me, please. If I say you're going to write the book, you need to write the book, right? So I did. I wrote a testimony book that tells my story.
Cool.
Of basically from 14 years old, how that happened, what that looked like, to the first marriage, to the second marriage, to the dating of this last boyfriend, until God said, enough. That led in. So what he has done, what God has done, is turned this into like a mini ministry that I will go mm-hmm. around and share with women of every age mm-hmm. how important it is to know God, to love him first, to keep your body sacred because it is his temple. He lets us live in it.
Yes.
But it's his body.
We are made in his image. We are made in his image.
Yes.
We are made in the image of God.
Hallelujah. Okay, I'm a slow learner. It took me a minute to get to that.
I know, but sometimes it's just, it's a timing. You know, it's God's perfect timing. He knew this. He saw this. He goes ahead of us. He knew this. He knew you were going to be on this podcast and talking about this. You and I were going to have a conversation. So this is just all incredible. And I cannot wait to see what God's going to do and how he's going to use you in this new calling. And I just am grateful that we could bring you on the podcast here in this episode and have you just share the redemption and what he's done, how he's transformed you, where are you going from here? Julie, where are you going from here?
Well, I'm still kind of praying on him to lead that journey. But the CD is almost done. The book is going to be published in a paperback that will have a QR code that leads to the CD. But it's also done in an audio book that I authored and narrate as well. So. Okay. I think what my purpose is and what this big picture is going to look like is that I will go around and speak my story, share the music, which is my story in song.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people have the opportunity, if they want to read my whole story, to do that. But I believe that God wants this to be a ministry that I take around, whether it be around the states, whether it be around the world, whether it be to churches, colleges, whether it be one-on-one.
Yeah.
Whoever he feels needs to hear the story is, you know, I believe he will put me in front of that audience. Wow. So okay. I let him lead, and whatever that future journey looks like, I'm his. I'm ready to go. And like I said, everything is kind of coming to a close. And the just the opportunity to be with you on your show is such so a neat. Blessing. I never dreamed I would be on a podcast or two. I never dreamed I would make a CD. I never dreamed I would write a book. But God knew, like you said, he goes before us.
Yeah.
So I'm honored. And I thank you for inviting me onto your show to share my story. I always call my story, God took my story of shame and turned it into a story of glory, because a lot of times women don't want to share their story because they find it shameful and they don't want to put themselves in that vulnerable spot. But if we don't,
it's a gift. Stories, it's a gift to another woman. Yeah.
That's
it's
right.
A gift to another woman. Or, that's a thing. We have to come out of ourselves and think about the glory that God gets from it.
Amen.
So amen. I'm gonna call it a wrap here, since we could talk a lot on this, but it's been such a blessing to have you here. So real quick, because friends, we're going to have an episode page up there on our website. We're going to have this in audio and video recording. So you'll have access to her content, her book, all those things. But just share how we can reach you. If somebody wants to say, hey, I need to reach out to Julie for your safety. Obviously, we want to keep, you protected in that way and everything. But is there a tell us to your website, maybe link.
Right now, I don't have an actual website, but I'm always available to people through social media, such as Facebook. And on Facebook, I'm just under Julie D. Period Holder.
Okay.
H-O-L-D-E-R. So just my name. And I'm on Instagram and whatnot. I'm on YouTube. So you can find my music there. My story will be published as well. But I would say right now, if anybody did want to reach out and, talk to me, ask me questions, or share their story with me because they can relate to my story, I would say right now, Facebook is probably the best place to do that. And that's where a lot of people follow me and reach out to me. Or on, I do a lot of TikTok. I have a TikTok for Jesus.
Oh, and really? Wow.
It's Julie Holder 940. So I do a lot of Bible readings. I do a Jesus calling every day and share scriptures and stuff. So they can reach me on TikTok as well.
Wow, gal. Well, thank you again for the opportunity to get to know you, for you to share all the wonderful things that God is doing in your life, for your authenticity and opening up and sharing hard things. But, we're none of us perfect. We're none of us perfect. And it's a continued process, and he will perfect us. And, until we are brought into his loving presence. So again, thank you. And friends, now it's time to hear a mental health tip from Sherry Puckett, our ministry partner and licensed mental health counselor, to bless you.
Hello, friends. This is Sherry Puckett, licensed professional counselor. And today I want to talk about resilience. We just heard an incredible story of triumph and victory through very difficult circumstances. And you may be asking yourself, how can I be that way? How can I have that resilience? Well, I want to read something to you. In Joshua 1, verse 7, God is speaking to Joshua after Moses had passed away, and he says to Joshua, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." And so you may be thinking, well, I'm not Joshua and I'm not going into a physical battle. But you know that we have battles every day. In fact, Ephesians chapter 6, God is speaking to us. And he says, be strong. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So we see the same thing happening. God is speaking in the Old Testament about being very strong and courageous, and in the New Testament. You may be thinking, how can I do that? Well, notice this. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, he says, do not turn from the law of the Lord. Don't turn to the right or to the left. And then he says to meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. For us as New Testament believers, we are to meditate on God's word all the time. And you may be thinking, well, how does that make me strong? Well, I think that there is a disconnect when we think about meditating on his word. We may think of meditation as memorization, when actually meditation is revelation. Meditating on God's word brings a revelation of who he really is. So in the Old Testament, we saw so many miracles, and the burning bush and manna falling from heaven and the Red Sea splitting in half. And so Joshua was able to look at that, right? And remember the goodness of the Lord and his character and how he always brought them through. Well, we can do the same thing. When we meditate on his word, we are meditating on his character as we read his word. And so instead of just memorizing with our minds, we can encounter him with our hearts. And you may be thinking, you know, sometimes I read the Bible and I meditate on it and I don't get anything out of it. Or I may have a lot of memorized scripture and still not experience God the way I really want to, in a deeper level. I want to encourage you in this. Are you turning to the right and to the left? And what I mean by that, you notice how God told Joshua, do not turn from it, the law, to the right or to the left. Are you allowing your mind to say things like, oh, I know the Bible says that God is speaking to me, God speaks to me through the Holy Spirit, but I don't think I can hear from God. That's turning your eyes away from scripture onto yourself. Or you may be thinking, I'm not one of those spiritual people. I'm just regular old me, and I can't have an encounter with God like that. That's turning away, maybe to the right. You're not focused on the truth of God's word, where Jesus said, I will never leave you, never forsake you. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they know me, and they follow me. So you're turning to the right and to the left when your eyes are focused more on your beliefs and your emotions than on his word. And so I want to encourage you to do this. I want you to take God's word, meditate on it. Don't allow yourself to turn to the right or to the left. Focus on his beauty, his goodness, his faithfulness. Remember the many, many ways he has brought you through difficulties. Remember his faithfulness. Remember his promises, and do not be deceived and turn away from him. But focus on his character and say, God, I worship you. I love you. I meditate on you, not for memorization, but for encounter. That, my friends, is the very beginning. It is the very beginning of resilience. All right. I will talk to you next time.
And until the next show, friends, be heard, and be healed.
Altered Stories Ministry is a faith-based, nonprofit, and women's evangelistic storytelling ministry. If you enjoyed listening to today's story, your family and friends would probably benefit from hearing how God works in the lives of women all over the world, too. So please, subscribe to our show and share the link to this podcast. Share it on your social media. We also welcome your valued feedback on our stories. Also, we'd appreciate your prayerful consideration in sponsoring one of our future God-glorifying stories and welcome your tax-exempt financial donation. To find out more on how you can support our ministry, you can log on to our website at www.alteredstories.org.